Cool.
That's right. And somebody brought up this question about, you know, using brand names of his competitor and trademarks of his competitor.
Yeah, what's the story with that?
Well, I'm just going to call that a gray area.
Does Google have any objection to you using, like, Toro or McCulloch or a brand name of something?
Well, I have never gone against any major companies like that. If the company sells through distribution and they've got all these stores that are selling their product and stuff, they're probably never going to be able to police the people that are using their name as a competitor. If it's something like Microsoft, probably you could have a problem real quick, kind of like eBay.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm looking, and it does not look like they have a problem with it. But I would bet that they require, if you bid on the word Toro, like the first one is My Assignment, a shopping service, eBay, shopping.com, Amazon.com.
Hmm.
I would imagine that when you click through, they want to see something related to Toro.
Yeah. And again, that's the kind of thing, it's going to catch up to you later. It's not going to happen today. You could get a cease and desist letter, you know. I think everybody who has any significant size business is eventually going to have to decide, well, what do I think of people bidding on my name? I typed in Armand Morin one time. There was like, you know, 10 people bidding on Armand Morin, and I don't think they were selling his stuff. So I don't know. You know, he's got to decide whether he approves of that or not. It's a double-edged sword, whoever you are, especially if you have any kind of established business.
Okay. Yeah, I know there's people bidding on my name.
People bidding on mine. Yeah, the scary thing is I don't know if they're any good, you know.
There's but one guy. I'll make sure to click on it. I got three people clicking who are bidding on my name. That's kind of funny. Interesting. And you got one other guy. So that's kind of a gray area, not a big issue, but can you do it? You should do it. It should relate to the site, the keyword somewhere on the site. And so far, we haven't seen any problem with it, but
yeah.
You could have a problem, and that's something to just keep in mind.
Yeah, and another thing you can bid on is URLs.
For example,
there's a gazillion people that'll type in cars.com in the Google search bar or the Yahoo search bar. As a matter of fact, last time I checked, 134,000 people typed cars.com in the Yahoo search bar, and nobody was bidding on it in Google. You could bid on somebody else's URL.
Wow. Boy, I had not thought of that. That was funny when I used to work with a search engine, and we looked at the stats one day, and the number 3 searched for phrase was yahoo.com.
Isn't that funny?
And never quite figured it out, except that people, I guess, didn't know how to use the Internet. More of an indication of a lot of newbies, but that's a great idea. So you can bid on people's, not just their name and brand names, but also on websites.
Yeah, and you know, cars.com, www.cars.com, http, www.cars, you know, any way you want to do it.
Yes, all 3 of them, and
right.
Then brackets and quotes.
Yeah, sure.
Boy, there's 9 keywords right there. Let's talk about pay-per-click or not pay-per-click. When does it work, and when do other things work better?
Well, my favorite example is toilet paper.
Uh-huh.
Toilet paper got used by, as far as I can tell, 4 or 5 or maybe 6 billion people last month, but there was only 4,000 searches for it on Overture. toilet paper is not something that people look for on the Internet. It's just not.
Right.
Now, and there are things like that where...
Well, kick in for a sec, there are also things like we talked about with Coral Calcium, where
yep.
there's things that have become commodities,
yep.
where they're very, very price sensitive. And one of the aspects of using a search engine is that someone is now presented with 500 different vendors who sell apparently the same exact product.
Uh-huh.
So it allows people to do tremendous shopping and comparison between one vendor and the other.
Right. Well, let's whack this guy for $2 and look at their price. Whack this guy for $2, look at his price.
Right. Now, there's some other aspects, too, which is what we found. And let me kick in a bit here, because we also advertise with pop-ups, we advertise with banners, and we advertise with a lot of email. And what we found is, take the Coral Calcium, for example, the email worked better than anything else. And our reasoning, because we had to come up with a reason, it's like, why did this happen, was that there was no other competitors around. The only thing in their email box was us. When the email got mailed, it was kind of a standalone offer. And so in certain cases, like with search engines where you've got, like I said, a very competitive product, or you're looking for a specific model number, like it's Canon Digital Elf 400, there's not much difference between the one from Amazon and the one from eBay. In fact,
right.
There's no difference whatsoever. Or the one from, Jim's Cameras in New York or 42nd Street Camera. At that point, people start looking for, are they the same? Are they refurbished versus new? Because we wanted to compare apples to apples. Then it really comes down to price. And do you have the best price? Do you have the best shipping? Do you have the best terms? Do you take all the payment options? Do you have a money-back guarantee? Can you FedEx it? All those things that come into play in a traditional retail business, which are all the little gimmies that people want just for doing business with you. And if you don't have those, then you'll probably find that search engines are going to be a harder place to sell than using things like banners, pop-ups, and emails, where you're not surrounded with your competitors.
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
There's kind of a rock, paper, scissors relationship between email, banners, pop-ups, affiliates, search engines, all
right.
Those different things.
The traffic's different, but we've seen email traffic convert a lot better than pay-per-click traffic and even standard search engine traffic simply because of the context that we were presenting the advertising message to the person in.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I think we covered this URL tricks and the visible URLs. Let's talk about market research and using this. I thought your example was so great with your friend Jenny. This is my favorite question, actually. And the question was, how can you use this to research different stuff? Headlines, book titles, hot buttons, new products, new trends.
Let me take the question in two parts.
Okay.
Somebody sent in a winning question related to this, and I'm gonna get to that in just a second. And then one guy said, "How do you research book titles on the internet?" And it's the same answer as headlines and domain names. And here's an example. I've got a friend named Jenny, who is a consultant. And she was talking to me about positioning herself as an authoritative person with her clients. And there's some people, I think you can imagine that, sometimes maybe women in general might get less respect from certain kinds of men or whatever, clients that don't think that they should pay her bill on time or whatever. And I said to her, I have a little theory that Jenny is a girl next door name. Maybe Jennifer or Jen would give people a different impression of you as a consultant. So I don't want to suggest that the name Jenny is bad, because she's a wonderful person. But maybe Jenny is the wrong impression for consulting. And so what she's doing is she's running Google ads for her consulting business, where she's using text in the ad to test Jenny, Jennifer, and Jen to see which people click on more. Do they want a Jenny, do they want a Jennifer, or do they want a Jen? And she's probably going to change what she calls herself based on rotating three different ads, Jen, Jenny, and Jen. Jennifer.
So could you do the same thing with book title?
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, Bill Harrison's he owns a radio TV interview report. He wrote up my Google stuff in his newsletter because, as a matter of fact, it's the perfect place to find out a book title that would be most appealing to people. Now, I actually did a version of this. It wasn't a book. It was a seminar. It's one of my favorite stories to tell about Google AdWords. I was doing this church event. It was about the movie The Two Towers with J.R.R. Tolkien and all of the spiritual and religious symbolism that's in it.
Okay.
And we had this little committee meeting, and we came up with four different suggested titles for our event, and I liked mine the best. Jeff likes Jeff's the best, and Mark liked Mark's the best. So who's right? So what I did was I bid on the word Tolkien on Google. I ran it for a day, and I had these four titles: The Two Towers, Tolkien, The Two Towers, and Spiritual Symbolism. That got 11 clicks. Lord of the Rings and the Spiritual Powers of Hobbits, that got 8 clicks. Spirituality of Tolkien, Hidden Messages in the Two Towers, that got 20 clicks. Tolkien Spirituality, Is There Hidden Christianity in the Two Towers, 16 clicks. So I got 11, 8, 20, and 16. Which one's the winner? So now... And that's how we decided to call it Hidden Messages in the Two Towers. Now, who would know without just letting people vote on it? Now, another thing that we did here was I just sent them to the Tolkien Society website. I didn't have one. So I just sent them to somebody else's site.
Mm-hmm.
And no problem. It cost $2.78, and I got my answer. And you can do the same thing with a book title or a product name or a name of a report or a name of a white paper or anything you want. Or whether you decide if you want to be Mark, Marcus, or John or James or Jonathan or whatever. You know, Jonathan Mizell, you could see if John works better if you wanted to.
Well, now the other question related to hot buttons, and that was the winner. Actually,
yes.
Terry, let's announce who the winner is.
Okay, the winner is Eric Prinz.
And what was his question specifically?
Eric's question was: you mentioned marketers find the groove and resonate with the consumers. Exactly what I was thinking during that section of the Google AdWords. So, how do you peer into the searches that are occurring without going through guessing keywords or phrases?
Boy, that's a good question.
I thought so. Congratulations, Eric. And I know Eric. He's one of my customers. So
now, if he wins, do we have to answer it?
we probably should.
Okay. Well, here's what I think. And Perry, you can kick in, your opinions as well. Generally, if you're going through the process of Google AdWords, and you've developed a lot of keywords, and this is really a function back to how many keywords you have. If you have 20 keywords, you're not going to particularly notice a lot of trends with 20 keywords. You might get one that wins or one that doesn't win. But a trend, a hot button, is when you have, in my opinion, 500, 700, 1,000 keywords. And that's when you'll start to notice what's happening in terms of clicks. We'll just call it in terms of actions.
Mm-hmm.
And an action is either a click or an opt-in or a sale. And what you're looking for are things, hot buttons, phrases, words that create a lot of actions, and specifically actions that lead to sale. I mean, you would never say an ad that gets a lot of clicks is good if it doesn't get opt-ins as well. And you'd never say it's good unless it gets sales eventually. So what the secret is to get a whole bunch of keywords, and really to just, you don't find the hot button so much as they find you. That's what I think.
Yep.
When I look at new products that we're going to release and quite often, and you know, I've never told anybody this, but we sell a lot of products, and we sell a lot of different products, and most people have no idea what we sell, which is exactly how we like it. We never develop a product right off of the bat. We basically will take a bunch of products from QuickBank or CJ or Affiliate Offers or Affiliate Fuel or one of those CPA networks, those affiliate advertising networks, Linkshare, one of those guys, and we'll put traffic in front of it, pay-per-click traffic and email traffic and banner traffic and pop-up traffic, and we'll test it beforehand to see whether or not we can sell it before we write a sales letter, before we develop a product, before we get a domain name, before we start collecting opt-ins, before we do anything. We'll use Google, we'll use email and other advertising methods to find those hot buttons and see what sells beforehand. And so typically what we do is we look at our email box, we look at our spam. We go to sites like space.com and we look at what's selling. And then we do our keyword research based on that. And we look at the number of advertisers. And then we find the best advertiser with an affiliate program. And then we start developing keyword strategies around it, throwing traffic at it, and seeing which ones convert and which ones don't. And that's how we find the hot buttons in the market. When we find something that we perceive as a winner, then we just develop our own version of it, create our own product. But we never create a product without knowing pretty well that we're going to at least get our money back, and usually that it's going to be a big blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
You have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I do. What you're describing is exactly what to do once you're ready to start spending some money. Let me give you some tips for before you spend money.
Great.
Here's just kind of a rule of thumb. I think a market is a decent market to go into if there's 3 to 16 bidders on Google.
3 to 16 bidders.
Huh? Yeah. Now, that's kind of a shoot from the hip number. But
if there were no bidders, what would you think?
If there's no bidders, it very strongly suggests, or only one, or only two, there's a pretty strong suggestion that there's not much money to be made in that market. I mean, to pick a ridiculous example, you know, I could bid on the word existentialism, and I can get it all day long for 5 cents, and I might even get a lot of searches or the word philosophy or something like that. But, you know, how much money is there in something that ethereal, okay? Or, like, I remember a story that Yannick Silver told one time where somebody found out there was all kinds of traffic, like hundreds of thousands of searches that had to do with learn to type. Well, the guy develops this product, and he's buying this traffic, and he slowly figured out after it wasn't working that almost everything, it was so easy to find a free learn to type tutorial that nobody would pay even $30 for one.
Wow.
Or there was a, you know,
so that might be one of the products that you'd want to sell if you were bound and determined to sell a learn to type product through a method other than search engines.
Maybe. Yeah. That would be very good.
Okay.
But you know, 3 or 4 or 5 bidders, that tells you that there's more than one person that thinks this is a good idea. And that's a good sign. On the other extreme, you know, when there's 20, 30, 40 bidders, then that strongly suggests that you're in some kind of a brutal commodity market. Like, I wouldn't try to do Imitrex or the Coral Calcium thing. You know, we kind of gave up on that because you didn't have enough back end to support, you know, paying so much money to get a customer. And so, but I think 3 to, you know, if there's 16 bidders, you've got a fighting chance. It tells you that there's, I mean, if you know it, if you've listened to this call and everything, you can probably figure out how to get into the first page for a lot less money than most of the other people you're bidding against.
Yeah.
And then if you design a good sales process, an opt-in process, you write good copy, et cetera, et cetera, then, yeah, you've got a fighting chance in a market like that. So that would be an indicator. And then, yeah, go to the websites and go, well, what are they selling? Here's another example of something that I found. I was doing this project for a company that sells equipment to retail store chains. And the key, and I thought, man, this is going to be great. And there was all these this traffic, people looking for this kind of equipment. Well, like kind of like cash registers and stuff. Well, we found it very difficult to make it work just to get opt-ins and quote requests for them because all of the people searching were very small businesses. There's lots and lots of small businesses and only a small number of large retail chains.
Okay?
And everything that was being sold in that market was like $99 software packages for your flower shop. Not thousands and thousands of dollars of equipment for all of your retail stores. And so we bid on the right keywords, but 90 or 95% of the people were the wrong kind of people for that company. So that's something where direct mail, and I mean, they could buy a mailing list of the right kind of companies and all this. That was just a better strategy.
Right.
It didn't work for big retail stores. It worked if you were selling to flower shops or something.
Okay. Well, now look, we're running out of time, so I'm going to kick it up a notch here. We're going to go straight to talk about the name squeeze page right now. Okay?
Go.
Somebody had asked a question, can you do this without a website? And it was another question about ClickBank is going to be requiring a website soon. And then we wanted to talk about names because I'm going to basically combine all this stuff together.
Yep.
The answer is, in almost every case, you can use Google AdWords without having a website. All you do is you drive the traffic straight into your affiliate page. And yes, you do have to do the little AFF on there. However, it's better if you do have your own website. And if you do have your own website, you can also use ClickBank. ClickBank's current system will allow you to drive traffic straight into the ClickBank merchant. That is going to change. We had a client and a friend of mine who contacted me the other day, and he said, so big deal. I went and I got a website. Not so hard. Some people have said, can I use a free website? Well, of course you can use a free website. You can use a free website at GeoCities, or you can set one up at any number of 100 places that will give you free web space. It does not have to be a big domain name. It does not have to be really anything. In some cases, like with ClickBank, all it has to be is a website that has the redirect script that just sends them to the right affiliate link. But what we found is that there's a much more effective strategy, whether you have your own domain or not, and that is to use what we call a name squeeze page. And what name squeeze is a website or a web page that is a one full page opt-in form. And what it does is it captures the client information so you, the advertiser, get that name. You can set your own follow-up system, and then after the person opts in, then they go to the web page. And let me give you the example. In the old days, we used to say that you send them to a web page, and if the person doesn't buy, you use an exit pop-up, and the exit pop-up sends them a little window that says, hey, if you're not going to buy, at least subscribe to our newsletter. And we found that was very good, much more effective than putting a little form on the page. That basically gave us an opt-in rate that went up from 2 or 3% up to about 10%. Then we recently discovered, let's just turn that around. Instead of sending them to a page, and if they don't buy, have them opt in, send them to a page but ask them to opt in.
Yep.
And if they don't opt in, then send them to the sales letter. So what we use is we use a page, the traditional name squeeze page is just a big opt-in form. And if they don't fill out the form, they get a pop-up with the page that we're trying to send them to anyway. If they do fill out the form, then there's a little, it's called a redirect or a confirmation page. As soon as someone fills out the form, and all forms have this, all sites support this, as soon as someone fills out the form, the page that would normally be the thank you page is the sales letter you're trying to get them to go to anyway.
Yep.
Now, Google says you can't use pop-ups, so what we did is we came up with a version of this where right below the opt-in form, it just says very simply, click here to go straight to Google. It's not a big deal. Now, Perry, you use a name squeeze page, and I think we can go to that page if we can.
Yeah.
Go to perrymarshall.com/123
Or 923.
923. And which one of these is your name squeeze?
Okay. If you go towards the bottom, it says Perry's free Google AdWords email course.
Yeah.
If you click on that, that will take you to a name squeeze page.
And this is the page that you send people to from Google, correct?
Yeah.
So when people click on, type for Perry Marshall, and then click on your ad, this is where they go.
Right.
And you're not trying to sell them anything here, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm giving them a five. Excuse me?
You're just trying to get them to opt in.
Right. And I'm offering them a five-day email course that will explain how to solve some problems when you're doing Google AdWords campaigns.
Okay. Now, when they click on that and they opt in, then where do they go? They get
then it takes them. There's a page that says, thank you for opting in. Check your email in about 10 minutes. The first installment will arrive. Just a moment. And then after about 5 seconds, it goes to a sales letter for my toolkit.
Got it.
Okay. Good definitive guide to Google AdWords, which Eric Prinz won a copy of for asking a great question.
Oh, that's great. Okay. So, God, you've got a really slick process here, and I hadn't even checked that out yet. Fantastic.
Well, let me just tell you from the standpoint, somebody wrote in about I've got this international sales force, and the deals are closed in person, and we can't track these to sales, and how do I make my AdWords stuff accountable and everything? Here's what you do. This works for all kinds of situations. This works for a guy selling a Google AdWords course. It's great for business to business too. But let's take the guy who sells this instrumentation equipment. You buy the keywords, and your ad says that you've got a guide to XYZ kind of instrumentation. They land on a landing page, and it says, are you considering this kind of instrumentation? Well, you got this problem, you got this problem, you got this problem. If these are problems that you're concerned with, we've got a white paper or a guide or a report or a troubleshooting guide or something, and it tells you how to work through all these problems, fill in your name, and you get a copy. And so now what you're tracking, you're not tracking sales, you're tracking sales leads. And that's what you're measuring.
So in that lead, you would somehow mark that lead in the form to say when that lead goes into the system that it came from Google.
Yeah, and that's easily done with HyperTracker or One Shopping Cart or AdMinder.
Got it.
Easily.
Okay. Very good.
This is like a killer formula. And what I usually see on these pages, depending on how targeted the traffic is and how good the message is, anywhere from a 10 to 40% success rate in getting the person to tell you who they are. Now they've given you permission to communicate and follow up.
We've got the same thing. I think now when we use email and other methods and pop-ups and stuff, we get a pretty high name squeeze deal. We get in some cases 40, even 50%. With Google, we get about, it's lower, it's about 20%, but
mm-hmm.
it's still fine. I mean,
oh yeah,
it's great. I'll take 20% any day of the week, you know, because it's already built up our mailing list to hundreds of people for this particular thing, and those people are fairly responsive people.
Right.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more. Let me say one more thing about namespace. I'm just looking at my notes. If you're selling something, a lot of people have said, hey, I can't use an opt-in form. I'm just an affiliate for this guy. And how can I take this traffic and follow up for him? That's his job. Well, that's the difference between making, you know, 20 cents a click or 30 cents a click and making 50 or 60 cents a click. There are a couple of big benefits to using NameSqueeze or using a process of sending them into an opt-in form on a website that you own or control. First of all, you do not have to use the AFF on the page.
Yep.
Because you're driving it to your page, not an affiliate page. Second of all, if that page is using pop-ups, I don't care. You can't use it any other way. If the affiliate program that you're sending the traffic into has pop-ups, and they're not going to disable them just for you, you're out of luck, man. You've got to use your own page. And that page is like a pre-sell page, and it can have an opt-in form. But the bottom line is you control the process. You don't have to put the AFF. And then the other last thing is, even if it's an affiliate program that you're promoting, set up an AWeber account or an autoresponder and start following up with those people, and you can increase the conversion rate on your affiliate sales like two, three mm-hmm. times. I mean, it's unbelievable because many advertisers don't do a follow-up job, and you're doing the follow-up job.
That's right.
And you're getting the credit for it. So that's the big one. The next question we had was how to attract affiliate sales, because a lot of people say, well, I can track the clicks, and I know the clicks are going in. And there's two ways to do it. One, you can convince the advertiser to put your little AdMinder or HyperTracker code on their thank you page after someone buys. And then the only other way we found outside of that is, and if you're a super affiliate, they might do that for you. But if you're not, then the bottom line is, you know, you're going to have to come up with an alternative. We just sign up for different affiliate accounts. So we have about 15 different ClickBank nicknames, and we'll set up different ad groups to go into different ClickBank nicknames, and that way we can say, well, this one generated this many clicks, and then we just go to the login screen for that nickname and find out how many sales it generated. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way we found that you're able to do that. Did you find anything else, Barry?
Well, I just say that you really do, especially if you're doing these affiliate deals, you really need to use very narrow ranges of keywords on every one of your affiliate links, because some of those keywords aren't going to convert, and the money is going to be found in figuring out which ones don't, not buying.
Right. Because it's not just about clicks, it's really about sales.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another benefit to using NameSqueeze or an opt-in form, and that is if you're bringing traffic in, and this is also relates to if you're getting bogus clicks, because someone said, how do I tell if I'm getting fake clicks? Well, it's real easy. If you're using AdMinder, you'll just notice that many of those fake clicks are going to come in from the same IP address, and you're going to be able to compare you'll just see the same number again and again and again, and you'll be able to compare that with your Google numbers. If they're way off of whack, you're getting a lot of bogus clicks. And the other thing is to track every step of the way. If you've got an opt-in form on there and someone's legitimately interested, probably a good percentage are going to opt in. Every day we look at our numbers. If one day, you know, if we're getting like 100 clicks a day and we're getting 20 opt-ins a day, and then some day occurs when we get 200, you know, clicks and we still get only 20 opt-ins, well, that's a pretty good indication that we've got some bad traffic and there's some fraud going on.
Yep.
Google does have a protection mechanism in place for that, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah. They don't really explain how it works, but they seem to have addressed it.
Let's talk about the bidding strategy. Is there a difference between 1, 2, 3, 8, 9? What have you found, Frank?
Yeah. We're like getting bugs in our teeth because we've got to move so fast here, but just really quickly, you don't generally want to be number one because you'll get lower quality clicks that, you know, people search and they go, oh, click on that. If you're down around number six or seven or eight, you won't get seen very much. As long as you're above three and four, you'll get listed on partner sites like AOL and Netscape and Earthlink 2. The optimum place to be, if you can get it, is like position 2 or 3 or 4.
Wow.
But you probably don't want number 1. It's definitely a point of diminishing returns. You may get lower quality traffic for a lot more money, and that's bad. But you want to try, if at all possible, to get on the first page, because the first page is going to get way more clicks than page 2 or page 3. So you don't want position number 10, 11, 12, because that's on the second page.
Right.
So that'd be my suggestion. But the real answer ends up being, when you figure out your conversion rates, what am I willing to pay for? There might be some where you'll take all the people you can get, and you're willing to bet on number one because your ROI is really good. It just depends.
Right. Let me answer the questions on search engine optimization versus pay-per-click.
Yes.
There was a lot of questions about that. Do you get an advantage advertising on Google from the search engine standpoint? And there's only one advantage you get, and that is if you start to drive a lot of traffic into your site, your page rank will go up. Now, you have to drive a considerable amount of traffic in order to get your page rank up.
Right.
But there is a benefit. There is a bigger benefit to it than getting any sort of special deal, and that is if one of the problems people have is Google just spidering their page. You know, forget the ranking, just going to the page and spidering it. If you are an AdWords advertiser, you will immediately get that page spidered. Google says, and I believe them, they don't give you any advantage for being an advertiser. But the advantage that they do give you is that they will at least go to the page and visit it and add it to their index. You might get at it and get position 500 or position 1,000, but that's better than being no position at all, because in order to move up, you need to start from somewhere. And like I said, guaranteed that they're going to spider you if you submit it. We've had people who said within 30 seconds they can see Google's spider bot go to their page of submitting an AdWord and make sure that it's a real page. Search engine versus pay-per-click really depends on the product and service. Generally, you're going to get a higher conversion rate from search engine optimization than pay-per-click. Not always and not huge, but what we've seen is, because we have smart pages and other things out there, generally we find the smart pages do a little bit better in terms of conversion. The pay-per-click stuff is more consistent, so that's why we do both. Search engine and pay-per-click side by side, is it bad to have everything? Hey, that's, you know, it's like, is it bad to have every keyword be yours or every listing on the page be yours? No. Gosh, if I could make it happen for all my keywords, I'd be the top 50 listings for everyone in the top AdWords for everything. I don't think there's a problem with it at all. The only problem is that, you know, people might keep searching. If it's the same ad or the same page that they're seeing listed again and again, they might keep scrolling down. You honestly want to be in both the normal directory, I'm sorry, the directory, which is the DMOS, the search engine, which is Google, and the pay-per-click side of it, which is AdWords. Overture versus Google and other pay-per-clicks, should you use one or all? Like Perry, I used to say start with Overture, but we don't say that anymore, do we?
No. No, start with Google because it's instant. And after you figure out what works on Google, then stick that on Overture.
And then after you find out what works there, then you start working with FindWhat, some of the other ones.
Right.
And then you can start looking at things like banners and pop-ups and email and other alternative forms of media. I want to talk a little bit about the idea of using Google for market research. We're going to do a two-minute presentation on this. We have a friend, a guy by the name of Frank Kern. And what Frank does is something amazing. He will pick a niche market, and what he'll do is he will use Google AdWords to survey that market. He will buy Google AdWords. I think his latest product is on Japanese gardening or something, or how to teach your parrot how to talk. I mean, he's got some weird esoteric stuff. And what he does is he uses Google to basically ask the questions of what the market really wants and what their most important problems, passions, issues are. And at that point, he gets a bunch of clicks, maybe 100 people, 200 people responding, gets maybe 50 to 75 people answering the survey, filling out what they're interested in. And that is how he writes his sales letter and then creates his product based on, pardon me, what the people told him they want. So for anybody thinking about using this for market research, and you haven't created your product yet, I mean, this is the biggest boom I think I've ever heard. Any weird esoteric field at all that you're interested in, preferably something without a lot of competition, you just run a survey form and you use something like Zoomerang or Alex's Ask campaign, and you bring people in and you ask them what they're interested in, and you take those questions and you answer those questions, and that's your product, and you rephrase those questions, and that's your sales letter, and then you don't have to turn off your AdWords campaign, do you?
No. Change the destination.
Is that the that's the short version of that one, isn't it?
That's the short version, but...
Did I get it?
You know, a lot of times, you might not even know what itch they're trying to scratch. You know what keyword they're typing, but you may be off. You know, maybe you think they want cheap and what they want is fast, and maybe your sales writer is all about cheap and they want to hear fast. Well, if you do an ask campaign, you'll find out.
Any sort of survey would just be phenomenal. I mean, I love the idea. You also know where your traffic's coming from. I think that's it. The only question left was, what about content targeted ads? The traffic quality on that stuff, on the content and the partner sites, usually you don't have to make your 0.5% click-through rate.
No, you don't.
Does that mean that it's generally a lower quality traffic?
Yeah, content, you got these two choices. Do you want partner sites? Do you want content targeted sites?
Yeah.
Partner sites is like AOL and Earthlink and other basically search engines, and you usually do want those. This is, do you want content targeted ads, and you can deselect that. Those are like, you know, stuff that ends up on business.com or the New York Times website or maybe thousands of other sites. Google sells their results to websites, and usually that traffic is lower quality because the person that sees the ad didn't just get done searching for that thing. They saw it while they were on their way somewhere else. And so if you're very price sensitive on your traffic and your profit margins are the thing you're concerned with, you probably don't want content targeted ads. If what you're trying to do is, if the price of the traffic is really good and you're just trying to get all you can get, that tends to be the quandary. It's either too expensive or you can't get enough of it. That's usually, people are torn between one or the other. If you're trying to get all you can get, then select those content targeted ads and you'll get some more clicks.
Okay, good. Well, that's it, guys. But we do have a couple last little announcements.
Yes.
Now, we thought, gosh, it really wasn't fair that someone would ask a better question, and we decided to, in addition to have the contest for the best question, it was Eric who won that?
Eric Prince.
We're going to go ahead and we're going to have another contest, and we're going to give away the same thing, the same package. And so I'm going to ask Jules to pick a number between 1 and 3.
Jules, do you have a number between 1 and 3? What do you got?
Jules says it is number 3, so I'm going to go to our form, and I'm going to figure out that's exactly... Perfect. And Perry, I'm going to ask you to give me a number between 1 and, hang on, I'll get this for you. Between 1 and 82.
77.
Okay. Well, I have Michael, and I don't have his last name. Let's see, 82, 81, 80, 79, 78, 77. Michael, which is S-I-G-E-R-S, I won't give his whole email address, but the person whose email starts with S-I-G-E-R-S, who's named Michael, you are also the winner as well. And we want to thank everybody for joining us. Two last little things. Terry, you wanted to talk a little bit about your toolkit?
Yeah, I got quite a few questions about this, and the question was, okay, Perry, I see in your website you've got this Google AdWords definitive guide, and what's the difference between that and what we just went through for the last two nights here? And there's certainly a lot of overlap, but there's also a lot of things that we didn't cover in very much detail today, and they are complementary, and so if you're really trying to dig as deep as you can, it'd be worthwhile to check out. You can go to perrymarshall.com/923, and you can click on the link at the bottom of the page, and it'll take you to information about that. And I also have several different packages And a couple of those are coaching programs. One of them is a telecoaching thing where we have meetings on a teleconference kind of like this every month, except the lines are open and anybody that wants to can jump in and we can discuss your campaigns. And that could be really useful to some people. And I also have another one that that adds some one-on-one time and some email access, so you get my individual attention. So for some people, that could be really useful, so I just want to make you aware of that. It's at the bottom, a link on the page, perrymarshall.com/923.
Great. And then the only last thing that I have to say is we did have a couple of people who contacted us, and they were upset. And the reason they were upset is because how can I possibly be expected to buy the resale rights to a product that I have not even heard yet? And we thought about it, and it's a very good question. And so what we decided to do, and we're only going to do this for people on this call, and this is only for people who signed up already, and we're going to verify this, so if any people sneak through and try to get on this page, it's not going to work. We set up a page at cyberwave.com/Google2. cyberwave.com/Google2, and what you can do is you can go to that page, and if you're interested in the resale rights, now that you've heard this program and you've gotten to experience it yourself, and you're interested in the resale rights because you know it's the kind of thing that you want to sell, you can sign up and we will maintain the $200 resale rights price for that package for people on this call only, and that is only through Sunday. So we'll give you guys a couple more days, and you can go ahead and if you want to think about it or if you want to just go ahead and sign up now, cyberwave.com/Google2. We will verify, so please don't share that URL. If you do, we're not going to process the order. We'll offer a refund to the person. So we know who has signed up, and only people who have signed up and who are on this call will be eligible for that. And that's about it. And I just want to thank everybody. A couple last little things. We're going to have the transcripts and the stuff ready for the MP3 files and all that stuff. We'll have all the packages ready for everybody who ordered that and everybody who buys the resale rights, I believe by October 6th. And it'll be right on or around that day, might be a couple days after. We'll go ahead and send all that information out to people, along with the terms and conditions, of which there are only three, and which everybody knows beforehand. And that's pretty much it. And I want to thank everybody for joining us. Really appreciate having you guys on.
Yes, thank you, everybody. I appreciate it, too.
I want to thank you, Perry, because it was just kind of a crazy thing that we decided to do. And I said, man, this is, you know, I got a lot of people who keep asking about Google AdWords, and it seems to overtake an Overture. And I just appreciate all the time and energy you put into this, especially on these questions. Thank you very much. And if you're listening, thank you very much for being on the call. This is Jonathan, and that's Perry, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks a lot.